Welcome to Parle, the weekly podcast from The Hindu. And I'm KC Vijayakumar, sports editor of The Hindu, and your today's host. In today's Parle, we discuss about conflating patriotism with the men's Indian cricket team. And on the panel, we have two eminent guests. First up is W.V. Raman, former India cricketer and acclaimed coach, who has also authored a book, The Winning Sixer. Our second guest is R. Kaushik, veteran sports writer. He has reported more than 100 tests and multiple World Cups and has also co-authored V.V.S. Lakshman's biography, 281 and Beyond. During the course of the current ICC T20 World Cup, the reactions on social media were pretty extreme, especially after India's loss to Pakistan. And a few fans were also booked for celebrating Pakistan's triumph. W.V., how do you look at this? I mean, of course, there is partition history, there is geopolitics. Do you think all this complicates sporting encounters with Pakistan?
Yeah, this is something that's been going on for years, as far as I can remember, even when I was playing this kind of animosity, if you can call it, was built up largely by the media. And that's continued, and the trend is continued. The fact is that over a period of time, India has always got the better of Pakistan, especially when it comes to the competitions in World Cup. But apart from the 80s and the 90s, a part of 90s, I think there were fantastic competitions, fantastic matches played between both the nations. There's also a lot of camaraderie between the players of the both countries. And it continues to do so even today. The current generation of cricketers are good friends also. If you see, a lot of photographs have come and a lot of things you get to hear from the media. Ironically, from the media that the players from both the teams are good friends. So this is a kind of a hype that has been created and it's been sustained over a period of decades. But it's also up to the public, to realize as to where they draw a line and where they have to really sort of deal with it as a mere sporting event rather than, mix it up with other things.
Kaush, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think W pretty much hit the nail on the head. The fact of the matter is that, and the important thing that he spoke about is a camaraderie between the players. Because, yes, you've had tensions between players sometimes on the field. Like, famously, you can think of Venkatesh Prasad and Ahmed Sohail. Or you can think of Kiran Morey and Javed Miandad in the World Cup. Those are things that happen on the cricket field. Miandad would do it with anyone. He and Lily almost came to blows. So, and Venki was a fierce competitor. So these things happen on the field of play, but they don't come spill over beyond the field of play. Unfortunately, now things are a lot more magnified in the world that we live in because of the social media influx, because of the various platforms on which people have this great sense of entitlement on their platform, and you're emboldened by the anonymity that, being an armchair keyboard warrior gives you that that luxury. So I think all that sort of just combines to escalate the situation more than what it did in the past, I suppose.
Okay. My second question is, when it comes to fandom, I'm sure the three of us would agree with Vivian Richards or Roger Federer or Lionel Messi or Usain Bolt or maybe Manchester United. It cuts across national identities. But why is it that when it comes to indoor park sport, it is kind of treated as war minus the shooting? Why is it this way? WV?
That is how it has always been created. That's how it's always been, in fact, sold. If I can use the term, I'll tell you, there was a charity game in 1986 or 87. In fact, there was a lot of hype created for an exhibition game, which was primarily played to raise funds for an NGO. And that was touted as a clash between India and Pakistan. It was never, ever, brought down to the other, place that go within the play when you have a Pakistan-India match going on. The rivalry between a Gavaskar and Imran Khan. Let's say a Kadir and a Dilip Vengsarkar, or for that matter, a Kapil Dev versus a Zahir Abbas. There was never ever any byplace, that was given the hype, like you do when it is a case of an international match between other countries and India. So this has always been, in a way, one can always say it has always been a trend or almost a convention that it was more about, when India played Pakistan, a lot of other elements were brought into play for the simple reason to create more hype or to ensure that all of them watch this game or whatever. I don't know what the objectives were. Yes, spicing it up is fine. Creating that hype is fine. But it's also the responsibility of the media to stop short of making it something more than a sport.
Yes. Well, the fact of the matter is that even the players, sometimes they tell you that it's just another game. But they say that for public consumption. In private, I'm sure, Vijay, with you also, many guys have said it's not just another match, Derby, we have to beat them. You know, it's nobody knows why it is like that. It's not like there's a great history of bad blood between the players per se. There might be between the countries, but there are not between the peoples. If you look at it, I mean, you have gone to Pakistan, I have gone to Pakistan. W has, of course, gone to Pakistan in a different capacity, but he has not therefore encountered the things that you and I have in terms of interacting with, forget the journalists, interacting with the people on the street. And we know how beautifully they have received us, how much respect and love and affection they gave us. And, you know, you might have been slightly hard-pressed to understand everything they were saying, given your fantastically expert knowledge of Hindi and Urdu. But, yeah, but anyway, you still felt the love and the affection. So we know what that between peoples there are no problems, between cricketers there are no problems. So look, the important point that W spoke here about the media, and when you have the host broadcaster of a competition, of a major competition like the World Cup, talking about Mauka and having all these sort of so-called funny ads, which are a little bit derogatory to people from both sides, but mainly to the fans of the Pakistan team because of the history between the two nations when it comes to World Cup action, then you are basically, this is a contest that doesn't need any spicing up, to be honest, right? It stands alone on its own. It stands on its own for the various subtexts that are attached to every contest. So why do you even feel the need to hype it up? It's a beautifully pre-hyped product, if you like, you know. So all we need to do is approach the product with the responsibility that it deserves. Approach the occasion with the responsibility it deserves, because people on both sides know the potential for mischief and for bad blood and potential for flashpoints that exist. So why would you do anything to just escalate it in any case? I mean, when it's already there, it's at a powder keg, tinder keg. So why do you want to just make it even worse? I just don't understand.
There have been exceptions in the past, like when the Chennai crowd gave a standing ovation to Pakistan's triumph in the test match here. Do you think that kind of broad-based fandom is possible?
Yeah, to me, Chennai 99 will be a bit of an aberration in today's world, not necessarily in India-Pakistan cricket. Okay, I'm just saying in terms of sport between cricket between any countries. You see, if Australia comes to India and there's a glorious boundary hit by an Australian batsman, you could hear a pin drop on the ground. Right? Nowadays the mindset of the Indian average Indian fan has changed. I don't think they come anymore to enjoy cricket. I think they come to watch their team win. Which I think is a very sad sort of reflection of, again, of the times that we live in, where you need instant gratification, where everything, ultimate success and enjoyment is decided by the outcome. So if you have a great contest between bat and ball, I don't think that people appreciate it as much as they would the home victory. And that is especially applicable to people in India, I suspect. So, I mean, we have seen this. You have seen how the crowd, Indian crowds have changed over the years. There was a time when you appreciated good shots from the opponent, right? There was a time when cricketers appreciated good shots from the opponents. And then now it came to a point where, okay, you don't expect the cricketers to be the same sort of amateurish spirit in which the game was played has gone. But even the crowds are so partisan in their support. You would expect more support for the home side, but you would expect the sport to be supported as well, wouldn't you? But today we have a situation where you just want your team to win. And I don't think, which shows that the landscape of the sporting populace as a whole is changing. That you are interested in the result, you're not interested in the sport. So maybe you're interested in the cricketer. You love the cricketer. Maybe you don't love cricket. So, which is inevitable. It's not a good thing or a bad thing, but it's just a sign of where we stand as a society that we only want success and nothing but success. And I think it's a very difficult burden to bear for these guys who ultimately are human beings like you and me. So,
we saw what sporting crowd is all about in Chennai in 1999. And I also had first-hand experience of how a common man sees a match between India and Pakistan in Pakistan when I had gone there in 2002 because the cab driver was telling me that, you know, he was looking forward to seeing India and Pakistan play a cricket series. He was also very certain that India had a far superior team and they would go on to win the series. But he said, you know, maza alag hota hai, you know, in Hindi. So, which meant that in the people on both sides of the border, like that, you know, the spice, the banter, and the emotional highs and lows that go, you know, along with a cricket match when India and Pakistan play. But they're also aware of the fact at the end of the day, you know, it's all about enjoying that particular contest and also the elements that are incidental to a cricket match between India and Pakistan. But beyond that, I think it is also, the onus is also on the media, or at least some sections of the media, to make a very judicious use of the word edit, because it's so easy to get carried away and keep it going, keep the spin going. Like, for example, Virat Kohli, obviously everybody knows is rested. But there were some stories that were being done on a couple of television channels saying Virat Kohli dropped last night after the team was announced for the forthcoming New Zealand T20 series. So it's all a question of how people want to project and how they influence. More than a cricket match influencing a public, I think the media can really influence the mood and the emotions of the public.
Okay. W, what are your thoughts on the Mohammad Shami incident? You know, when he got trolled online after the match against Pakistan, there was a reference to his Muslim identity. I mean, you have coached Bengal with Shami in the ranks. How do you see this episode?
Yeah, I immediately put out a tweet saying that I've seen him, you know, give his all for any team that he represents. In fact, his Ranji Trophy debut was remarkable in a way that after the game started, he contracted dengue, which was detected after the entire game was over. But during the game, he bowled his heart out, even though he was running a temperature of 102. So that's the kind of attitude that Shami has. And what started after that game was really unfortunate. It's so easy for people to, you know, use the keyboard and type things and say. And there is no saying what will really gather momentum these days. What happened there, as far as the social media is concerned, up to the common public, they need to also be kind of discreet. They should use their powers of discretion to understand as to what needs to be encouraged, what should not be encouraged. But that was really unfortunate. But at the same time, it was heartening to see a lot of people, you know, come in support of Shami. And that was good, because that settled a lot of matters. And also the public understood, or people who are mischievous on the social media understood, that up to a point, yes, fine, we can play whatever mischief we want to, but beyond a certain level, it's not going to be tolerated. I think that was the message that people, the mischief mongers, got.
Okay. Kaush, do you think Kohli's statement made a difference? What Kohli came out in public and spoke?
Well, it obviously did make a difference. A lot of people said it was a week too late. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I mean, that was the first official platform that Kohli had to express his opinions on the subject. But I think, like W said, long before Kohli spoke about the whole issue, and I think he spoke beautifully. I think he had some really strong, really harsh, and really correct words to say. His use of words was brilliant. The way he strung together sentences to address this issue, I love the fact that he called the people who were doing all these things spineless. I think he did a lot of good. Whether the timing was right or whether it was appropriate, it should have been done earlier. Well, I'm not the best judge of that. But there were so many guys who rallied in support of Shami in the immediacy of the Pakistan match. And it's amazing how only when India loses a match, okay, to Pakistan in this instance, that the religious identity of the person in question comes into play. Nobody said Shami was a Muslim when he got 9 wickets on debut against West Indies and won the Test match for India in 2013. Right, it's amazing how it's a very convenient stick to beat people with when things are not going your way. Again, I don't know whether these are motivated people. I don't know whether these are people who genuinely feel that way. If they are people who genuinely feel that way, then obviously they're not cricket lovers. If they are motivated, then I don't think we should even be wasting time on those people, because if there is an agenda to what they're doing, then clearly there's an agenda. What you and I do? The important thing is to realize is that Shami is playing for the Indian cricket team. And he is not the only guy who's playing the Indian cricket team. He was one of 11 people who played and lost to Pakistan. So if you want to criticize somebody for their performance on the basis of their performance, fine. I mean, Rohit Sharma got a first ball he faced. If you want to criticize him for that, by all means. But beyond that, to ascribe motives or to use somebody's identity, a religious identity or a caste identity to cast aspersions on their character integrity, I think is really sick.
WN Kausch, I mean, the Indian diaspora, be it in England or Australia, to name a few, I mean, they root for the Indian team whenever it was there. You know, even though they may be people, I mean, as they may be citizens of those respective countries. So how do you see this complexity? I mean, they are there, they're citizens of those countries, they back the Indian team. And then there seems to be a different yardstick for people here in India. How do you see that?
See, as far as I see it, it is definitely something, you know, that people do without realizing. The way they express, by that I mean the way they express their disappointment. You know, that is the thing with the fans of Indian cricket and the Indian fans of cricket. They want Team India to win any and every game that they play. But that is impossible in sport, in any sport, whether it's an individual sport or a team sport. Yes, you would strive for excellence. You would try to come on top of the opponent every time, but it may not happen. But it is also important that you know the fans realize that they need to show their disappointment in a less subdued manner, and they should not try and bring in other elements when they want to sort of show their disappointment or when they want to criticize somebody's poor day on the field. There are ways to do this. There are ways to show your disappointment. There are words that you can use. There are words that you can't use. Even in criticism, even in showing disappointment, especially when you're showing disappointment with such deep-rooted emotions, you can't get it wrong. So even we coaches or we players, we don't talk about the game immediately after it gets over, in the aftermath of a defeat or in the aftermath of even a victory. Because immediately in the wake of a game, you may say things that you may not want to say. So that's the reason even I would rather appeal to the fans also to, you know, take some time and then, you know, start expressing their disappointment. I'm sure, you know, it's not that they deliberately want to hurt their heroes. It is just, you know, when they, you know, immediately as they see a match, you know, pan out and they see their favorite team and their heroes, you know, not winning the game, which they expect that they will. Then, you know, immediately when they start reacting, that's the problem. That's where they end up saying which they don't want to say. I'm sure even the following morning, if they look back on the, you know, sort of words they used or look back at the way they sort of express the disappointment, it won't make them feel proud. I'm sure about that. It's not that they genuinely want to do this. It just comes out like that. Certain times, you know, you end up conveying something else when you want to say a totally different thing altogether.
Kausch, how do you see this?
Yeah, well, you remember the 2013 Champions Trophy final when we were playing, when India was playing England in Birmingham. And the English team came and said that they thought they were playing the away game, that they were the away side and India was the home side. You're playing a T20. It became a T20 game. It was a 50-over final, but it became a T20 game. And you had obviously you had more Indians at the ground and you obviously had more, a louder segment of the public that was watching the match was the Indian section. And I can not even start to imagine what the English players must have been going through. I mean, you are playing in your country, it's your backyard, and you come to India and you get the same thing. And then here you're playing in England and 80% of the crowd is rooting for the opposition. And that is something that we take great pride in. We as Indians in the cricketing fraternity, we think, oh, look at this. We have people everywhere and the Indian team is the most loved team wherever it goes in the world. You go to Adelaide and, you know, there is overwhelming support for India. You go to Durban and it's almost like a home game. You go to Trinidad in Port of Spain and that's like you're playing in India. So anyway, you go to Auckland and you have only about 250,000 Indians in Auckland, but you still, I mean, almost everyone seems to be at Eden Park when we're playing a test match. And we are very happy with all those things. And we love the support as the Indian cricket team. You love the support that you get from those people. So just to extrapolate on that, and so what if three people in India support a visiting team? Okay. And these people that you spoke about, that we spoke about in supporting India, these are second and third generation Australians or Englishmen or South Africans, and they are still supporting the Indian team. So why is it so difficult for us to understand? And you have thousands of people supporting you when you go abroad. Why can't 2-3 people here support some other team when they play against India? Isn't it like a little bizarre that you want it to happen to you, and it happens to you in the thousands, but it happens 2 or 3 against you, and you suddenly feel that that is a blow to our patriotism? I mean, come on.
Like sport, like art, is supposed to cut across boundaries. I mean, do you think that benchmark is getting diluted? Is it possible to be patriotic and be accepted for supporting another team? Is it possible? I mean, in these times, WWE?
It is definitely possible as long as we know how to compartment place different spheres. Because, you know, when you go and watch a game or a sport, you say, yes, I'm going to watch the spectacle. I'm going to watch good cricket or good game of tennis, or, you know, let's say a good round of golf being played. If I stick to that, if that is my objective, then I'll go have a good time. I'll come back. Yes, I would be disappointed if my favorite players don't have a good day. Yes, I'll be disappointed. I would again go back the following time, following day, or the following occasion that they take part in whatever sport that I'm watching. My heroes, I'll go back and watch them in the hope that they'll do well. And that will be a source of acceleration for me. So that is why I repeatedly go back. And that's why even the sportsmen continue to play sport even if they have bad days. So it's something that gives you that hope, that makes you go back to that sport as a spectator or as a player or an athlete. It's all about the hope that you would do better, because ups and downs in sport is definitely something that everybody goes through. Yes, if it is looked at as a sport and as a sheer source of enjoyment, yes, the onus is on every individual to sort of subdue the level of disappointment they feel. And it's also up to the individual to express their disappointment in such a way that they don't end up insulting the athlete in any which way possible. See, for example, in the years gone by or the decades gone by, the authorities or the administrators didn't have any kind of notices on the grounds like anti-racial policy or anti-this policy, anti-that policy. It's only of late that is coming, for the simple reason you come across people losing sight of the fact that, you know, it's very easy to cross the thin line of, you know, having a go at somebody for having a bad day and being extremely, you know, offensive. That's the reason across the world, I'm not saying it's restricted to any one particular country, we see a lot of unwanted incidents happening in the wake of a sporting event. That is why, you know, administrators across the world in almost every sport these days, you know, go on to put up notices. It's come to that stage, which means the public is failing to use its powers of discretion, you know, in expressing their disappointment and in the way they kind of say things which are directed at the athletes that they go to see and have a good time. That's the irony of it.
Okay. Josh, how do you see this?
Yeah, I think W put it beautifully. I think at the end of the day, we are human beings, so we will support one team more than the other, or we will support a player more than the other when a competition is on. But and you want those people to win. You want the people that you back to win. That is one of the reasons why we go and watch it, because we sort of vicariously live our pleasures and our happiness through them. But at the end of the day, if you are a lover of sport, whatever the sport might be, whether it's cricket in our case or whether it's football in our case, whatever the sport might be, and yes, you will, you are a human being, so you will want somebody to win more than the other person. But if you love the sport, then you will be able to draw the balance or strike the balance between disappointment at your hero losing and delight at a fantastic contest of great sporting excellence. Now, once we understand that the sport is bigger than the individuals that play it, right? I mean, I'm not trying to lecture here, or I'm not trying to harangue here, I have my favorites. I watch Nadal play tennis against anybody, and I want Nadal to win. But I don't hate Djokovic, or I don't, not that it matters to them, but I'm just saying, I don't hate Djokovic, I don't hate Federer. So at the end of the day, I love tennis, and I'm a big Nadal fan. Would I want Nadal to win when I'm watching him play? Of course. But would I abuse him if he loses? I wouldn't. Would I abuse Federer if he beats Nadal? I wouldn't. Because, I mean, we must be thankful that we have so many fabulous performers across so many different disciplines that we are privileged to watch in this generation of ours. That, you know, across disciplines, across sports, you look at cricket and look at the array of riches, you look at tennis and the names that we spoke about, you look at football and you have Ronaldo, Messi, and then all these other guys, Neymar and stuff coming up. We saw Tyson, we saw Boris Becker, we saw Michael Schumacher, Ayrton Senna, whatever. And just look at what all we were privileged to have watched all these years. And if you cannot appreciate these geniuses and if you cannot appreciate sport for these geniuses, then I don't think we can call ourselves sports lovers, basically.
Adding to that, Casey, the highs and lows that are created in sport is due to the human element, because humans play the sport. But the fans who transgress the limits cannot take shelter under the fact this kind of inability to control our disappointment and express it, you know, without being offensive, also is human element, is something that they can't take shelter under.
Yeah. So thanks a ton, gentlemen. Wonderful talking to two of you. It's been an engrossing conversation. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.